preaching, there's no singing, there's no teaching, there's nothing without the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when you have the Holy Spirit, there's fire and you are a church on fire. You know, a church on fire. Church on fire follows one. I want you to write this down. The commission of Christ. Christ's commission. A church on fire. The indwelling Holy Spirit, and you are a church on fire. And a church on fire follows one. Christ's commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And go and teach them all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. That is the great commission of Christ. That is the commission that Christ gave his disciples, those who had believed in him and those that were now indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. That was Christ's marching orders to the disciples after his resurrection. That was his marching orders to those. He commissioned them to go, and he commissioned them to make disciples, and he commissioned them to know. The definition of commission is the act of committing or giving charge. The definition of commission is authority granted for a particular action. God has commissioned us to go into Janesburg. He's commissioned us to go into Monroe. He's commissioned us to preach the gospel. He's commissioned us to go into the nursing homes. He's commissioned us to start a Narcotics Anonymous. He's commissioned us to go and have the walks around the park. He's commissioned us to go and see those in hospitals. God has given us power and authority granted for a particular action or function, and the definition of commission is power also thus granted. Christ gave the disciples power. He granted them power. Jesus granted the disciples power to go into all the nations, and he's given us that same commission to go into all the nations. How are we going to go to all the nations? We go into all the nations through the internet. We go into all the nations through written word. We go into all the nations through the radio. We go into all the world. He's given us that same commission to go. And he's given and granted us power to make disciples. What is a disciple? What is a disciple? Those who follow Christ. And how do we make disciples? How do we make disciples, church? We make disciples by giving them the word. John 8 and 30. You are my disciples if you remain in my word. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You make disciples by reading the word. You and I, we become disciples by knowing God's word. That is the only way we become disciples, not just Christians. We become Christians by accepting Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit, and then we become disciples. Excuse me, we don't become disciples by receiving the Holy Christians by receiving the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. That is the only way to become a Christian. We receive salvation, and that is the only way to become a Christian. And after you receive salvation, then you will get the Holy Spirit. And then to become a disciple of his teachings and to come to church and Bible study and live a life that is wholly acceptable unto God, to become a disciple of Christ's teachings, you need to read the word. You need to remain in the word night and day, evening and afternoon. Remain in the word. Read the word. Put the word in your car. Put the word in your job. Put the word on your iPad. Put the word wherever you need the word. You need the word. You need to remain in his word. And then you will be a disciple. And we're called to go into the nations and make disciples, and then know that God is with us always. And we are. And we as disciples of Christ, the church, are commissioned to go, to make disciples, and to know. You know, that's why we're doing all the things that we do here at It Is Well Living Church. You know, we just can't sit in these four walls and have church. We have to go to your job and make disciples. Go to your place of business and make disciples. Go to where God is sending you and make disciples. You have to go to the prisons. You know, the Lord is always on me about going to the prisons, going in the prisons, always, always on me. Did you go to the prison? Did you go to the prison? I don't really want to go to the prison, but he's called me to go to the prison, to go to the prison. Because I don't like going to the prison because there's nothing, that I feel powerless. I feel powerless. When I went to the prison to see my cousin, I felt like breaking down after I had to leave and he couldn't come with me. I felt powerless. So I don't like going because I feel powerless. But God says go. And he says make disciples. That's why we go. A church on fire goes into the world, makes disciples, and follows the great commission of God. A church on fire, point two, a church on fire teaches and adheres to the teaching and commands of Christ. A church on fire teaches and adheres to the teaching and commands of Christ. Not the teaching of the pastor, not the teaching of the deacon, not the teaching of the deaconess, not the teaching of some rhetoric that we get on these little tracts, but we adhere to the teachings of Christ. You know, I said in Bible study that if ever there's a time at It Is Well Living Church where Christ is not on the throne, where Christ is not exalted, please get up and leave and go find you a church, because we have become a cult. Whenever you come into church and you look on our pulpit and you see my picture on the pulpit and you see my wife's picture on the pulpit and you see our little kids' pictures on the pulpit, whenever you see that, you have permission to leave, because now you have walked into a cult and Christ is no longer being exalted and his teachings are no longer being exalted. That's why you have to know the word for yourself. So when you're watching Christian television and listening to Christian radio, and when you're going and visiting churches and you hear something that is not biblical, you can know right away that it's not for you. A church on fire teaches and adheres to the teaching and commands of Christ. What are the commands of Christ? We know the Ten Commandments, but what is it that Christ commands? You know, there's a joke. There's a joke that says, someone was teaching Bible study and to some kids, and they said, "Do you know the commandments for honoring your parents?" And one little kid said, "Yeah, honor your parents, your mother and your father, that all your days may be long. That's a commandment." And the teacher said, "Very good, Johnny. Now, do you know a commandment that says anything about your brothers and your sisters and those in your family?" And another kid raised his hand and said, "Yeah, thou shalt not kill." Amen. 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 A church on fire. A church on fire teaches and adheres to the teaching and commands. What are the commands of Christ? We know the Ten Commandments, but Christ gave us two specific commands. If you have your Bibles, well, we're going to put it up on the screen. Matthew 22:37-40. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." That is what Jesus commands. That's the first and great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God. Not just love your wife or love your husband. Not just love your job or your business. Not just love your friends. Not just love your agenda or your motives. Not just love going to school, going to the park, sitting at the beach, walking around, walking the dog and the cat. But you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. I think Jesus had it covered right there. Because if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, it'll keep you from evil. If you love the Lord your God with all your soul, nothing will take God's place in your life. If you love the Lord God with all your mind, you won't be able to think crazy thoughts and thinking people are talking about you, being jealous and envious and thinking and being paranoid. If you put God in your mind and God in your heart and love him with your soul, that covers the gamuts of dysfunction in your life and in my life. This is the first and great commandments in verse 39. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is not just the person that lives next door to you, but your neighbor is your mother. Your neighbor is your father. Your neighbor is that person on your job that you can't stand. Your neighbor is the person that's sitting next to you. Your neighbor is the person at the gym. Your neighbor is those that you come in contact with daily. You should love your neighbor as you love yourself. As you love yourself, you get up in the morning and do whatever it is that you want to do for yourself. Well, love your neighbor, those neighbors in your church, like you love yourself. Come to church, come to Bible study. You put everything before that. But love your neighbor as you love yourself. As you love yourself. And then Jesus goes on to say, and I'm pretty sure when he said these two commandments to the people, it was very quiet, just as it is now. Amen. But he said to them, he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, you can put the Ten Commandments, the law, all on this. Follow the Ten Commandments. Do what you have to do. But I'm giving it to you right now under the new covenant. This is what you need to do. You keep trying to do all of that. Give it your best shot, but focus on this, and this will cover all of that. This will cover all of that. You can hang everything that the law says and all the prophets that came before me, what they said. Hang that on these two principles. You know, it's kind of like when you belong to certain churches, especially traditional churches, and I love tradition in churches. That's why we sing a hymn today. But sometimes they will hinder what Christ is trying to do. They'll hinder the Spirit of God. And Jesus came to these Pharisees and these Sadducees, and he said, look, you're trying to hinder the people of God with your laws. You're keeping them from coming to church just because they may have went through a divorce, or just because they may still be on drugs, or just because they're not living together, they're living with someone that they're not married to. You're keeping them from the kingdom. I'm telling you now, if they do these commandments, if they follow these commandments, it will take care of all that dysfunction in their life. So let them come. Let them come. Let them come. Hang all your laws and your rhetoric and your committees and all your mess on this. Let them come. What is the teaching of Christ? Here's an example of a teaching in Christ, and we're almost about to leave. I promise you that we'll be leaving when I'm finished. Amen. 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 Please turn with me to what is a teaching of Christ? Matthew 13. I want you to hear this. I want to get this in. I respect your time, but I really want you to hear this because we're going to be talking about this in the next Bible study, and I want you to read this. Here's an example of a teaching of Christ. Christ always, Matthew 13, start at verse 3. Matthew 13, but you don't have to read that. I want you to listen to me for a moment, please. Jesus always taught parables, and he taught parables to the people because they were accustomed to hearing the law and religious rhetoric all the time. So he used parables to help teach them so they can understand and get a clearer vision of what God was trying to do in their life. So he would give a parable like this. The kingdom of God is like this. There was a man and there was a woman, and they wanted to do better in life. They wanted to go higher in life. They wanted to do more in life. They actually wanted to lose some weight. And what they would do is they would go to the gym on Monday, but they wouldn't go back until Friday. And then the next week they wouldn't go at all. Then they would go all week the third week. That is likened to a person who would not go to church, who will want the Spirit of God and the favor of God and the hand of God, but they won't come to church and they won't come to Bible study and they won't read their word. That's how Jesus taught parables. And I'm sure that people looked at Jesus like how you're looking at me now. Amen. Amen. That is how Jesus taught the parables. He would say things like this. He would say things like, you know, a man and a woman, or a woman wanted to be respected. She wanted to be respected in town by those in town. She wanted the favor and the hand of God. But she continued running with a certain crowd. And when people saw her running with that certain crowd, they would not look on her favorably. So when she came in and demanded respect, she would not get that respect. because she was running with that certain crowd. That is like someone who wants the favor and the hand of God in church, but yet they still continue going to the clubs. They continue going to bars. They continue doing those different things, and then they try to come to church and get the favor of God on their life in church. He would teach parables like that with real life experiences. You understand? So here's a parable that